47. You've got all of the description of what's possible and the costing in front of you, members. My big question here is, this is a facility which is fully tenanted. I think we've just recently re-signed leases for the tenants, YMCA, GMSA, and the gym club at the rear of the premises. So my question is, if we're going to spend $100,000+, and it's going to be purely for the benefit of the tenants, is why do we do it that way? I mean, I've just got a question. The question arises from the fact in the report it talks about a payback period, but if you're not getting the money back, you don't get no payback. So can staff address that, please?
Through the chair, it is an interesting question. I think the installation of solar and energy efficiency in council-owned facilities is following the direction that council wanted to lift that standard in the building. So this is really around council ensuring that facilities are minimising the impact to the environment and operating in the most energy efficient way. The question around the payback period, in the end, the clubs who are operating in those facilities will have a financial benefit with reduced utility costs. So,
okay. So, but I mean, I'm just want to make sure you get my point. That if we had a motion before us tonight that we're going to choose three council tenants and give them $134,000 over the next 6.5 years. How would that go? We're just going to pick out three and favour them and not give it to anyone else, and they don't have to do anything. We're just going to give them money. I don't think that motion would get up. So how's that different from what is here?
So it's through my chair, but I'll also just check for confirmation from Ms Hampton. I think we have applied this to other facilities that are leased, and we haven't, and that has been a sole contribution from council as well.
Like Bowles Pub across the road, I think they pay. RSL pay.
Yeah, so there is been applications where clubs have applied for grant funding or had also sought CFPP funding and put their own funding in, but also recently in the work that Council's been doing in installing energy efficiency and solar across your facilities, there have also been incidences where we have fully funded that.
Well, Ms Hampton, do you have something to add?
We had initially suggested that Council consider a model in which they would undertake the assessment on properties and consider it, and it could be part of our CFPP as well. So that's something for Council to consider, that we have had some guidelines around what we support.
Just following this line of questioning, has anyone actually asked the tenants, who are not doing badly, whether they'd be willing to make any contribution to slash their electricity bills in terms of a capital contribution?
Through the chair, we've found that one particular tenant, that being YMCA, is very keen to work with council around energy efficiency, and they have, in regards to retrofitting lights, been keen to work with council and contribute towards that. So we've just had general conversations with them around that. They actually have some very good negotiated energy rates which they are sharing with other tenants in that building. So they're very keen to pursue something.
Okay, I just think there's a possibility here of adjourning this until there's been a frank conversation with tenants about how much they might want to contribute, you know, on an equitable basis. I'm not saying they should pay everything. We want it to be done, but we have to bear in mind equity with other tenants as well. So, look, what have we got? Just questions only at this stage, or have we got someone to move? Question, Councillor Lescu? you suggesting they pay their excess electricity bills to us instead of to the electricity company because they have reduced rates? Well, again, discussions would need to take place. Councillor Pryor?
Can I defer this? Or is that...
I will accept that motion at this stage. So it's moved, Councillor Pryor, seconded Councillor Westwood, and to the September meeting. Allows time for discussions. Well, can you take that up with staff after the meeting? I agree. So we need to... Councillor Hull does make a good point, but when this comes back, end of September, we actually want some thought about the whole of the facilities and how it's going to be funded, not that that tenant pays nothing, that tenant pays 100%. Some sort of suggestion of a policy for us. Ms Dixon? Yes, well, I mean, up to you, Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, I think October's okay.
Why not? How many meetings is October?
Two.
So the first meeting in October, strike a bit of a compromise?
Could that policy...
Well, yeah, it's more than... I always like when I hear that something can't be done because someone's on leave, I always like to think that there's always a backup in an organisation of 360 people for someone who's on leave.
Mr Mayor, that's called business continuity, but could I just ask that
Never
policy...
Heard of it. Yeah, Councillor Hull, go on.
Could I just ask that that policy also include ways that we can, council, in this process, mitigate the rising energy costs that all these, particularly this club, is using a lot of energy, but, you know, ways that we can actually mitigate the costs of rising energy costs for all our facilities.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think they're already on that track. Councillor Westwood?
Just a very quick suggestion that I think that we actually should be sharing in all the electricity savings where we install or make a great contribution to photovoltaic cells on the roofs. So I think we should share in that.
Thank you. The motion before us is to defer to the first meeting in October. I'll put that motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried absolutely unanimously. Thank you. And that'll give staff a chance to have those discussions. And, of course, members are always welcome if they have ideas about what should be included. They can always make those suggestions to staff in between meetings. On to page 66, proposed service station. Councillor Byram. Is that seconded, Councillor Westwood? All those in favour? Against? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Who said the council holds up planning processes? I'll tell you what. Now we're on to Wattle Ranger's political campaign against the Liberal Party on page 79. Councillor Appleby, would you like to... all right, anyone else? Councillor Vlescu. That's it. Very dignified contribution. Thank you, Councillor Vlescu. Is that seconded? Councillor Gard, we note the report. Anyone speaking against noting the report? Councillor Hull.
I am. Mr Mayor, I agree with this council's position about not supporting the LGA's rate capping campaign. But having said that, members would also remember many of the tweets and comments that I've made that somebody needs to point out to the proposers of this policy for rate capping that if they do apply it to local government, they need to apply it to themselves. And that is the point that is picked up by the Wattle Ranges Council that I think deserves to be conveyed back to this South Australian Liberal Party. So, you know, you have to practice what you preach. So if you're going to apply that to local government, you need to actually have tax capping and fees and charges capping. But, you know, it's just a point of expression, Mr. Mayor, that I think that local government should make to any government, Labor, Liberal, Greens or whoever might want to propose rate capping, that they need to, it needs to be equitable. And that's what I think that this council should do, is to actually indicate that to the Liberal Party. So we are at least even-handed about this, that whilst we might be not agreeing with the LGA, there is a point that should be conveyed to the Liberal Party in terms of the relevance of their position.
Any other speakers in favour? Then I'll ask Councillor Valescu to close the debate.
The irony raised by my fellow councillor, but I guess governments at all levels are there to provide a service, and I wouldn't want this to backfire where, you know, our schools lose funding because there's a self-imposed cap, our hospitals, people can't get treatment. If the state government needs more money and they haven't got other options to provide the services we need, then you know, that's what they need to do. But I guess with limiting what councils can do, maybe an extra contributions would be most welcome, especially for those smaller councils.
I put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried by a majority. Thank you. On to page 83, corporate risk profile. And I must admit, I do have a query about this. Do we have a risk expert in the room? Well, anyway, my questions are, when I look at that table in Appendix B, almost everything's a medium or a high risk. I mean, it's like we're living in a war zone. It's like we're in Syria. I mean, things are about to explode everywhere. There's a couple of green spots on the page that calm me down a bit, but I mean, what's going on here? It can't be that we're living in this world of incredible risk. What's going on here, Mr. Scull?
Chair, I agree with you. I don't agree with some of these high risk ratings. We haven't had a review of the corporate risk for a while. I believe there is one next week, Mrs. McKenzie. There's a couple there that I absolutely don't agree with, but there are some which I think need our attention, like asset management, volunteer management, and some of our systems which, you know, need certainly some tender, loving care. But I agree with the Mayor that some of these ratings are inflated.
What are you going to do about that, Mr. Scull?
Chair, we're having a meeting next week on the corporate risk register to actually go through them all and get some rationale behind some of the ratings that have been put down here. Hasn't been changed for quite a few months.
Probably better that staff do that next week than we do it now. Councillor Byron?
So that's what I was going to do. I request a deferral of this until after that meeting.
Right, sir.
And a review of these. Sorry.
Ms. McKenzie's just going to explain why this cannot be done quickly. It's a very risky procedure.
Sorry, through the Chair, with the corporate risk profile, each of the risks are owned by the SLT managers at that level, so it does require some consultation across the organisation. So from a date perspective, I'm just curious of when you're expecting it to come back, because that consultation can take a little bit of time with other business priorities.
What would you suggest, Ms. McKenzie? Would you suggest, Ms. McKenzie?
Well, ideally what I'd like is to be able to bring it back by the Finance and Audit Committee in October and then present it to Council after that.
Sorry, is that 2017 or 18?
This year.
Right,
yeah.
Good. So what, end of October?
Yeah.
Second meeting in October. Thank you, Councillor Byrne. Is that seconded? Seconded by Councillor Telfer. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now for some good news. The monthly workers' health and safety report, page 87. Councillor Hull to move.
Happy to move it, but Mr. Mayor, I'd like to know whether this is really good news. Because in the report, it doesn't make any reference to, well, when I see LTIFR, I thought it might have been long term, but there's no reference to long.
It's to do with the rainbow flag, isn't it?
Yeah, there's the cue missing. Mr. Mayor, it doesn't refer to long term injuries, which you can reduce the number and have a very small number of minor injuries, paper cuts and stuff like that. But if you've got a couple of nasty back injuries, for example, then that the bottom line in terms of the cost blows away 50 paper cuts. So I'd like to know, and I've asked this before, can we actually have a breakdown of those in the report so we really have real information?
Yeah, but so perhaps percentage disability, if there is any long-term disability. All right, so some more detail next time, but points taken. Thank you. So some more information about the seriousness of injuries. Okay. But otherwise, are you happy to... You were moving the motion, Councillor Hull? Seconded, Councillor Pfeiffer? All those... Councillor Gard has a question. Yep.
Chair, I think we can get some benchmarking data of other industries against which we can compare. You know, we've got that we look at occasionally, like Qantas baggage handlers, and they have a younger workforce than we, but they have a significantly lower LTIFR than we do, even though we've actually reduced ours down by a significant percentage. So we can provide that data, and it's probably good not to compare us with local government, but to industry, yeah.
All right, all those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously, thank you. On to page 91. This is to do with the Oaklands rail crossing design, and I note that there's a motion drafted for confidentiality, and I would just ask the manager governance to explain why the discussion should be confidential.
Through the chair, the discussion will relate to the Oaklands Crossing project, which will discuss the impact on the precinct as a whole and some of the commercial arrangements that may go along with that.
I think it might have an impact on property values. All right, so move that way, Councillor.
Now, can I move an extension of time to the completion of the Oaklands Crossing item, please?
Yes, is that seconded? Seconded, Councillor Gard, all those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Done. So would you like to move the confidentiality order, Councillor Pryor?
Yes, I'd like to move the confidentiality order.
No, this will be the last item. The gods can wait, Councillor Hull. So that's Councillor Pryor moving the confidentiality order and seconded Councillor Gard. And all those in favour? That was unanimous, yes. So now we will have to close the room and say good night to the unnamed people, if you know what I mean. Then we can, before moving anything else, proceed to have a presentation from Mr. Scull.